You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Okay, well, it's good to be back here again after a few weeks away on holiday, and also we were attending a conference last week, and we miss church. We miss this expression of church and the family of God. And I was just saying to Jackie on the way over, I'm just really looking forward to being and seeing people again and seeing people that we regularly used to see and do see. So it's great to be back. And I wasn't listening to Jackie's notice, I'm afraid. So sorry for you guys up in the circle. And I was expected to take the bread up there. But I met so many people up there, which I'd never seen before. So come and say hi to me sometime. And it's good to see you all as well. So yeah, great to be back. And I've listened to some of the podcasts, and it sounds like you've been having a treat as well. Some amazing words which have been shared while I'm away. But what I wanted to do is start a little series, and I want to be looking at church over the next few weeks. And it might not just be myself, hopefully others may be part of that. And if you were to say that to me a few years ago, I'm going to have a talk on church, I would have probably shrugged my shoulders and thought, well, okay, just be quick about it, you know. And maybe some of you are thinking like that too. To talk to some, a talk on church, let alone a series, might sound pretty boring and religious. You want to talk about church? How about something more relevant, you might be saying? We live in fear of terrorist attacks. We have two international leaders trying to start World War III. We've got the fallout of Brexit, and still nobody knows quite what's happening there. You know, we hear of famine and hurricanes and earthquakes and thousands losing their lives. Some of you might be saying, can't we talk about something a little bit more relevant than church? Or maybe closer to home. What about exploitation on our streets? And it was great to have Rahab and the other organization with us a month ago just to inform us and communicate a little bit about that. But or the level of personal debt or the effects of austerity, trafficking and even kidnapping happening in our streets of Reading. And you want to talk about church. You know, just on that kidnapping front, there was a guy in bed for the night here 2 years ago. And nice guy, and he wasn't at bed for the night this last year. And I bumped into him a few months ago, and I said, oh, we've missed you. And he said, I was kidnapped. I was begging in Broad Street. Somebody offered me some work, and I went with them. And for 9 months, I couldn't escape. I was watched 24/7. I was a slave. And that's right on our streets here. I had to do crime. I had to do stuff, which I was forced to do it. And I said, well, were you the only one? He said, no, but there was one or two others, but they just disappeared, and I've got no idea what happened to them. And then he escaped. And he was living in fear in case he was found again. And that's on our streets here of Reading. It's not just happening in other parts of the world which we might think are less or more primitive than us. It's happening here in Reading too. And you want to talk about church? Well, yes, I do. Because I want us to see. I want us to realize afresh, just as God so loved the world, even this rebellious, sinful world, he sent Jesus. So I believe he still loves the world so much, he's given us another gift, the church of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be honest with you, that's not my title I've put up there. This is my title, The Church, God's Gift to the World. And my prayer as I've been preparing and mulling over and thinking about this is that you and I, we catch afresh God's heart for the people of God. This amazing organization, the biggest people group in the world, that you and I are privileged to be part of. And over the next week or two or so, I want us to be re-inspired to see God's got a plan, God's got a call We're not here just to meet in a few walls and just to bring worship songs, even just to pray. That's all good. That's all really important. But we're here to make a difference in the world in which we live. Hallelujah. So you might think, Neville, that's very presumptuous. I understand you're thinking like that. That's a very bold statement to make. Isn't it a bit proud? Well, I guess it is. But I do believe what Jesus started, he expects us as his church to continue. It says of Jesus, he went around doing good. Wouldn't it be good if the church was known for going around for doing good? Not just they're against this, they're against that, they're against the other. But actually we're for this world in which we live and we're here to do good like Jesus did good. And then Luke goes on and he says, he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We'll look more next week, but do you want to say, I don't think our mandate has changed. What he did, we are supposed to do and more. Now that's an amazing gift to the world. So I want to help us to see. I pray we'll have fresh revelation and vision of who we are in Christ and God's call on our lives. I've got to say, for most Christians, I don't think they have any sense of call or purpose. They have no understanding that it's not just about eternal life when we die. It's eternal life now. And that's a quality of life now that, as James regularly reminds us, we are blessed with in order to be a blessing to others. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I keep asking. It's like he's not just asked once. He's praying for the church in Ephesus here. He says, I keep asking that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul had a vision. Paul had a revelation of the church of Jesus Christ. And he was saying to these new believers in Ephesus, I keep asking that you'll get it too. I keep asking, it's not just something up here in your mind, it's not just something logically to work out. I keep asking that in your heart, your eyes will be open to see this incredible call that you have, that he's called you to be part of, that you might inherit his promises and be the blessing which he's called us to be, that we might know the hope to which he's called us, not just hope when we die, but hope here while we live. Now, Jesus didn't change society in 3.5 years of his ministry, but he did change lives. And changed lives change lives. And changed lives change society. And I want to put you, as he left us here to change lives, to bring hope and transformation. That's the purpose of God. And just as Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, the government of God, the will of God, so we should be doing the same. And Paul says, the kingdom of God, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I love that description. That's the kingdom of God. Wherever we go, where the king, when we say your kingdom come, righteousness, goodness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the world need that? So many people are worried. So many people are worried about economics and finances. So many people are worried about what our friends in North Korea and America are talking about. So many people are worried about the effects of earthquakes and the terrible things which are happening in the world. But the kingdom of God's righteousness, its goodness, its peace, its joy in the Holy Spirit. And we as a church, we mustn't be like that. We mustn't be worried. Jesus says, don't worry. He says, you know, the flowers don't have to worry about life. You don't have to worry about life. Just come to me. Just trust me. Seek me first. Put me first. And you'll be blessed and all these things will come to you as well. So don't worry. But rather, church, let's be those which bring righteousness, peace, and joy into every area of the lives which we meet. Part of our call is to manifest these attributes. And of course, if it's not in here, it's not going to go out there. It starts in here. Each one of us receiving his righteousness, his peace, and his joy. I was so impressed about with Steve Osillo, the pastor from Oroville, who was here a few weeks ago. His church sounds like a little bit smaller than ours, but seeing their town transformed little by little as the church impacted society. Changed lives were changing lives. And I want us to understand we've all been called to play our part. We can have so much more of an impact than many of us realize, or maybe to some extent we do already, but there's more. And of course, it's not just in our own strength. It's the light and the life of Jesus being shed abroad by the Holy Spirit through the people of God. So that's why I want to talk about church. I want us to see. And yet there's a tension I struggle with. I read Acts, my favorite book. I see the gospel proclaimed by the church, changing lives, changing towns, and changing cities, even nations. It's exciting. I see healings and miracles. I see ones and twos. I see households. I see even whole villages and towns responding to the gospel and getting saved. Even on the first day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people so convicted of sin, so convicted of the bad in their lives, that they said to Peter, "What have we got to do to be saved?" That didn't even happen with Jesus. The most of the people that Jesus healed and ministered to must have just said thank you very much and wandered off. But Peter makes this proclamation of the gospel all about Jesus. And conviction falls. They realize they're going in the wrong direction. And 3,000 people get saved and baptized that same day. I see the church winning souls. And the Bible said every day people were being added to the church. Every day. I see the church loving God, loving people. They eat together. They share together. They break bread together. They're family. And in that community, there were no needy persons among them. Isn't that a beautiful testimony? No needy people. I believe the poor must have come in, but their needs must have been met one way or the other because God was in their midst. I see them at prayer, passionate prayer. They're fasting too. Let me just say about fasting. Every month we have a day of prayer and fasting in theory. I don't know how many of you are doing it, but we have a day of prayer and fasting. And one of the reasons we need to fast and to pray is because we're here to make a difference and we're not making as big a difference as we need to be. One of the reasons we need to fast and pray is because this world needs to have a greater light, a greater witness, a greater testimony shining so that they see and they respond to God and their lives are changed. One of the reasons we need to fast and pray is for breakthrough. There's people here who've been sick for weeks and months. We need to see change. We need to see miracles. We need to fast. We need to pray. Somebody said to Jackie the other day, "Oh, I don't fast. It's legalistic." Well, I'm sorry about that, but Jesus expects us to fast. And of course, fasting's legalistic. If you're going to set a day, you're going to fast. I mean, I don't quite know what you mean. There's a discipline in it. And do you know what? It comes to that Wednesday before fasting day and I'm dreading it. I'm thinking, oh no. And I come to the prayer meeting. We have a little prayer meeting which every Thursday. And that starts at 6. I think it's an even longer day without food. And I dread the thought of it. But there's a discipline. Lord, if you expect me to fast, I'm going to fast. And for some of you who've never fasted, maybe you just need to miss breakfast. And not eat till lunchtime. Don't fill it in with Kit Kat on the way to work. You miss that meal, not eat till lunch. Maybe others can miss two meals. Maybe others can miss three meals. But let's fast. Food. No, not just chocolate. Yeah, let's fast, and let's pray, and we'd like to develop the room upstairs, the projection room, so that maybe every day could become a room for prayer. But on Thursday, it'll be there and it'll be set up, and everybody's welcome. Anybody's welcome just to come and to pray and seek God. The church in the New Testament, they prayed. And when they prayed, on one occasion, it was so powerful, the buildings actually shook. Wow. There's power in prayer. This is what I read about in Acts. But more than all that, I see them having such a positive effect in the communities and in their villages, in their towns and cities, even finding favor with the authorities in some cases. The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy was touching lives and regions. That's what I long for. I long to see Oxford Road touched with the kingdom of God. Wayland Street, Russell Street, the streets around the pavilion here. Not just as a, this isn't just a religious building that people come to, but there's light emanating from this place. There's hope going from this place. I'm chatting with Jackie Jackson later this week. She's got a heart to begin to pray again around the building. Brilliant, brilliant. Let's see the kingdom of God come. Let's see what God wants to say about the hopelessness around us here, because he's called us with a purpose to be God's gift to this community around us too. And yes, as we read the book, it's not long before persecution comes. But by then, they'd been so caught with a dream of God, there was no stopping them. They'd passed the tipping point. It was Jerusalem, it was Judea, it was the nations of the world. Hallelujah. What an amazing church. Light shining in darkness. The yeast of the kingdom of God spreading in every society, the powers of darkness crumbling, Jesus being glorified. Amen. Is that your dream too? Is that your vision? I need to move on. We're not there yet. I know what our mandate is. I know what we're called to be and to do. And again, that's why I want us to look afresh, because I want us together to catch his heart and believe in him. He has an amazing plan for our lives, to release his presence and kingdom wherever we are and to make a difference for him. So we'll be looking at church as the family of God, what that means, loving, accepting, belonging. We'll look at church as the body of Christ, what that means, everybody playing their part, Jesus' body on earth. We need to see the church as the army of God, trained, fighting, pushing back darkness, battling in the spiritual realms, prayer and fasting comes into that, and bringing freedom and hope to a world that is lost. Doesn't that sound exciting to you? Ah, it sounds exciting to me. I just think you ought to be saying, yes, Lord, I'm up for this. I'm up for this. Now, I love G12. I believe in the Great Commission. I believe in winning souls and making disciples. It's what Jesus did. It's what he wants us to do. But hear me, that's not the vision. The vision isn't to form a group of 12. That's a strategy. The vision is way bigger. When Jesus saw the needs, we read about it in Matthew 9, he saw the multitudes, he saw the needs there. He said, he was moved with compassion and he said, pray for workers. The harvest is ripe. And it is. It's ripe now. And he said, pray for workers. And then the workers answered his prayer, because in the next verse we read, so he sent the 12. And he sent them out to meet their needs. He called them out to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to preach the kingdom of God. That's why teams are important. We conquer with a team. But that's not the vision. That's the method. That's the method. That's what Jesus used. The vision is transformation. The vision is all things being reconciled to God. The vision is heaven on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we need to battle against sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. There shouldn't be any sickness here. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? G12 is all part of that. But that's not the vision. The vision is much, much bigger. Impact society is to impact the nations of this world with the kingdom of God. Now, I've been reading a book by Ed Silvozo, and he makes a very interesting comment about church, which I just want to mention to you. Let's have a look at Matthew 16, verse 18. You know, Jesus only talked twice about church, and we're going to look at one of those today. Verse 18, he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter," so he's speaking to Peter. Peter's made this confession that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, "I tell you that you are Peter, on this rock, on this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Or as the New Living Translation puts it, or other like the New Living Translation, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And Ed Silvozo points out, notice he didn't say, "I will build my synagogue." He didn't say, "I will build my temple." How interesting. The religious settings and gatherings which all the Jews would have been familiar with. But he chose to refer to a secular word altogether. Why didn't he say, "I will build my synagogue, I will build my temple"? Because he had no intention of starting another religion. He had no intention of building a more modern approach to synagogue life or temple worship. Rather, he chose this completely secular word, the word ecclesia. And he said, "I will build my ecclesia, my council." Let me explain it a little bit more. You see, we have our own definitions of church, don't we? And you know, for many, it would be the meetings or vicars, or stained glass windows or cathedrals and old-fashioned language, strange garments that priests wear and the collars and the bishops with their mitres. It would have been all of this sort of stuff. But that is so far removed from what Jesus had in mind. He never intended to build something religious like that. We've gone back to that religious thinking. That's not God's gift to the world. It may be well-meaning, but I want to suggest it can even be counterfeit. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. It's not the thing that's going to bring down the powers of darkness. Yeah? Now, there's some good people in that setup. Please, I'm not criticizing the people. But it's got religious. That was never Jesus' intention. Ecclesia was a secular word. And it was used by the Greeks to describe the ruling assembly of citizens. So those over 18, those who had voting rights to govern their city states. And later it came to be used to describe simply a convened assembly of citizens. Quite a secular word. It's like the council or a summit or something like that Jesus said he's going to work with. So when he said, "I'm going to build my ecclesia," it's like he's saying, "I'm going to form a team of men and women who, as citizens of my kingdom, they're going to be given responsibility for government. And the gates of hell will not be able to stand against them." That's what he had in mind. You've gone quiet. I hope you're liking it and agreeing with me. So that's us. That's his intention for us. And unlike the temple or the synagogue, the ecclesia doesn't need a building, unlike Lifespring Pavilion. It doesn't need a building. It could meet anywhere, anytime. It was flexible. It could operate 24/7. That was what Jesus had in mind. "I'm building my ecclesia." This is a quote from the book I was reading. "When a group of Roman citizens, as small as two or three, gathered anywhere in the world, it constituted the conventus, as a local expression of Rome. Even though geography separated them from the capital of the empire and the emperor, their coming together as fellow citizens automatically brought the power and presence of Rome into their midst. This was indeed the Roman ecclesia in the microcosm." And I was thinking, when Jesus said, "And when two or three of you gather, there am I in the midst," might he have had in mind that conventus, is that if I say it right? Yeah, that conventus. Might he have had that in mind? So much greater than the power of Rome.
the authority of King Jesus and the kingdom of God will be in your midst when you gather in my name. Amen. That's what Jesus had in mind. Amen. So, nothing religious in his language. This was the ecclesia of God, the citizens of heaven. And maybe some of us are still in a bit of a mess, but we've been redeemed. And the old has gone, and the new has come. And we're being changed from glory to glory. And the light of Jesus, even through these broken, messed up lives, is shining through. Not just in buildings and on Sundays. No, wherever we go, 24/7. And when we gather at mealtimes, it's church. And when we gather in our homes, it's church. It's church at home, it's church at work, it's church in the pub, church on the streets. We don't need buildings. It's church feeding the hungry, church healing the sick and casting out demons, the church bringing in goodness, peace, and joy. I believe that's the type of church Jesus had in mind. Not a religious organization, but men, women, young people, and children called out of the world to be his ecclesia. Separate. These were citizens of the city. Do you remember? We've been called separate. The ecclesia of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to be part of. And that's what I want you to be part of. And together we can be part of this amazing plan that Jesus has. And this is the people group empowered by the Spirit of God, expressing the heart of God, which becomes God's gift to the world. Do you hear what I'm saying now? Isn't that amazing? It's never meant to be religious. It's not meant to be something you come to. It's not meant to be a service on a Sunday or a cell during the week. It's not primarily about special days and feasts. Of course, we'll gather for praise and worship. Of course, we'll gather for teaching and encouragement. That's, we need each other. We're built together. Of course, we'll meet in large groups and we'll meet in small groups. That's normal New Testament church. But let's not forget, as Ed Silvosa reminds us again, his ecclesia, whether in the embryonic expression of the Conventus or in a more expansive version, was designed as the vehicle to inject the leaven of the kingdom of God into the dough of society, so that first people and then cities and eventually nations would be discipled. Hallelujah. I hear the Great Commission again. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of God. That's his plan for you. That's his plan for me. Church, let's be intentional. Let's get rid of some of that religious baggage, that religious thinking. And let's be the people of God he's called us to be wherever we are. That's his plan for you, to be God's gift to the world. Does that still sound prideful, proud? Why don't we just say, Lord, I am God's gift to the world. Why don't we just declare that out loud now? I am God's gift to the world. Can you do that? I don't know if you believe it. Do it a bit louder. I am God's gift to the world. Why don't you look to your neighbor and say, you are God's gift to the world. Oh, I hope this is not on podcast and going around everywhere else. I think, what a proud lot they are. But actually, it's because of Jesus. It's not because of me or you. It's his life in us that enables us to be what God calls us to be. And we're going to look at this a little bit more over the next few weeks, because I want us to really catch something. I want us to lift our heads up high. Regardless of your situation, regardless of the difficulties you might be facing, I want us to be able to lift our heads up high and say, I've been called. I've been chosen. I'm God's gift to make a difference in this world. Amen. 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 In closing, you knew that, didn't you? In closing, Peter reminds us, but you are a chosen people. He's a bit proud as well, isn't he? You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hallelujah. Can we stand together? I want us to confess this together. But rather than talk about you, we're going to say, but we are this people. We are this people. Can we do that together? But we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Dear friends, amen. 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 And he goes on, dear friends, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among your neighbors that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Let's pray. Lord, once we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Thank you, Lord, that it's not, we're not born into that. It's your life infusing us. It's through your death. It's through us accepting the sacrifice. It's through us giving our lives to you. And this morning, Lord, we surrender again. We say, come and fill us. Come and fill us. Come and let us be that gift. Your gift. To, in the schools, in the universities, in our workplaces, wherever it might be. Let us be your gift, bringing in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.